Well, I ask for your prayers this morning. We look in these scriptures for a little bit. We have had a few messages concerning Christ, the incarnation, the message of the birth of Christ. This morning I have two passages I'd like to work with. And of course everyone is familiar with the story concerning Christ. We've had two adult Sunday school lessons this past Sunday and then this morning concerning all of the things that took place that had to line up for the birth of Jesus. We considered in the adult Sunday school class last Sunday the proclamation of the angel Gabriel that came to Elizabeth and then to Mary and explained to her that she would give birth to Jesus. And she asked a question. How can this be? How can this be? This seems so impossible. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. He's going to come upon you. And that holy thing which will be conceived in you will be of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you were to try to explain that in any type of biological terms, in any type of logical terms, it is absurd. But that's what she had. She had a visitation from an angel. I wonder how many other people would say they've had visitations from an angel. Oh, I think that there'd be others who would say an angel came and visited me. I've heard people say that they saw an angel. I've heard people say that they had some type of, whether you want to call it divine experience, a supernatural experience where there was something that took place that was outside of the normal realm. And that's what Mary experienced and Elizabeth. But to Mary, this thing was so supernatural that it would be so difficult to explain. And how she had to explain that to her husband, Joseph, or her espoused husband, Joseph. They weren't married yet. And explain to him the message that she got. When Joseph understood that she was with child, you know the story, that he sought to put her away privately. He didn't want to make a public spectacle of the whole thing. But the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, it's all right. God is in this whole picture. It's okay. You can take her to your wife because she hasn't been untrue to you. But the divine hand of God is upon her. Joseph, explain that to your peers. Explain to your peers that this woman that you are engaged to marry, who is obviously carrying a child, has not been unfaithful to you. Explain that to your peers. Tell them that an angel came to you and said, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Because the child that she is carrying is not of a human. It's of God. Oh, sure. Tell me another story. Everything that God did in allowing this beautiful, wonderful gift and hope was outside of normal realm. It was supernatural. This morning I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew. And I'd like to read in the first chapter a few verses. Some wording of what I just paraphrased. But begin with verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, in a dream. Scripture says, by multitude of business comes dreams. The Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. My little burden this morning, if I were to title it, would be Emmanuel, God with us. I want us to think about the importance of those words. The name that was given, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The older I get, the more life I live, the more I realize how much I need him daily. The more I realize how weak and undone I am without him. The more I realize my frailties, my physical frailties, my emotional frailties without him. I realize that without the Lord, and I remember Brother Marty bringing a message to us, we need the Lord. We don't just need him for salvation, folks. That's one reason we need him. But we need him every day. We need him to give help, strength, hope, direction every day. It is so vitally important for us to really understand what it meant here. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It wasn't just the physical form of God incarnate. It wasn't just that Jesus Christ, as a Son of God, came to this world in form of flesh, which was a very important thing. And while he was here those 30 plus years walking this earth, conducting his ministry for those 3.5 years that he had, it wasn't just that time of God with us, folks, but it is daily God with us that Christ came to bring, that God did allowed all of this to take place so that we could have him with us every day. How wonderful that is. We need him every day. I'm going to rehearse a little story to you. I don't know all the details, only the fundamentals of it. But when I heard this the other evening, I believe it was the other evening, I heard this, it rejoiced my heart. A gentleman who has kind of lived some rough days, come down sick, seriously sick, without divine intervention, terminal illness, coming to a place where he has to do some reckoning with himself and with the one who said he would be with us. Reckoning some things out, and I don't know all the details why. If someone was called to come visit or if there was a request made, I don't know. But This is what I have understood, that the man said, after he had a visit with someone of clergy, he told an acquaintance of his, I'm sin free. Sin free. Think of that for a minute. Think of those words. Think of what it means for a man to be able to utter those words. I'm sin free. Why? How can we be sin free? The only way that a man can be sin free is because of God with us. God with us, helping us in all of the things of our lives, whether they be big or small. Folks, I believe everyone in this building today has had to deal with some extremely difficult things in your life. You've had hurts, heartaches, heartbreaks, disappointments, all of those kinds of things. You've had grief. It seems like sometimes the things that come can just, as they unfold, it just seems like there's no end to it. They just keep unfolding, and trouble on top of trouble, compounded trouble and compounded heartache and heartbreaks. I know those kinds of things happen because I live life and I hear the things that happen in other people's lives, and I wonder how it is they're able to make it through the course of a day hearing the things that they have to deal with, the things that have just been brought to their mind, brought to their attention, knowing the pain that it brings to them. The only way, folks, that you and I can be successful and make it through this life from start to finish in an effort to serve the Lord is because of Emmanuel. Because of God with us. Not just one visit. Not just one time for 30 plus years to come to this earth. But God with us every hour, every day. Brother Steve used to sing a song every once in a while, I need thee every hour. Beautiful words to that song. I need thee every hour. How true that is, folks. Thank God for Emmanuel. Being interpreted is God with us. Now let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. I'd like to pick up at verse 5. We'll read through verse 7. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'd like to focus on verses 5 and the last sentence of verse 7. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Physical warfare between nations, between enemies. There's a lot of noise, there's a lot of tumult, there's a lot of clamor. Especially in the old days when there was armor and they fought with swords and spears and arrows and mace and chains and all those kinds of things. It was a noisy, clamoring time. And not only that did you have the noise of the battle, but you had the screams and the shrieks of those who were injured and wounded. And garments rolled in blood. All of the wounded, all of the things that happened on the battlefield. From the human perspective, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. I can't begin to imagine what it would be like to be in hand-to-hand combat, face to face with your enemy, blow for blow, striking blow for blow until one is the conquered and one is the conqueror. In that type of situation, there would be a confused noise. There would be sometimes wondering who is who and what's going on. Where do I turn? Who is my friend? Who is my foe? Is the one behind me with me or against me? I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how to look. But this says every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be, drawing a contrast between the two. What I am going to present to you, what I'm about to say to you, he's saying, is, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Thank God for the burning and fuel of fire. Thank God for the ability of His working through Emmanuel, through God with us, through everything that God designed and destined for the experience of salvation to be, fuel, burning and fuel of fire, something that can consume those foes, not like humanity. It's not like me fighting against it with my own physical strength, because I have learned, and so have you, that I am no match physically for the enemy of my soul. I am no match emotionally for the enemy of my soul. I am no match against my own and in my own strength against the enemy of my soul. I've got to have something bigger than me, stronger than me, more powerful than me. If I had a bigger sword, if I had a longer spear, if I had more armor, if I had more of a heavier mace, if I had a longer chain that I could swing, maybe I could keep him at bay. No. Those things don't work because they are contrived as human weapons of warfare. The Scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This shall be with burning and fuel of fire. The contrast is that what God was bringing through Emmanuel, through God with us, is the ability to transform a man in his heart and his mind, make him a new creature, and allow him to have victory over self with burning and fuel of fire that is able to destroy. Thank God that the power of God, through everything that God brought to us, has the ability to destroy the effects of sin. You see, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. How many times have I been confused because I was trying to fight things in my own strength? Does anyone else have that same testimony? You don't have to acknowledge it and raise your hand. But I would imagine that we could say, confused noise. Because I was trying to fight it in my own mind, in my own strength, in what I understood, in what I thought, in my opinions, my assessments. Instead of being able to really fall on my face and call on the Lord and allow Him with the burning and fuel of fire to destroy the enemy, destroy the foe. Thank God, folks, the Scripture tells us the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be conquered. Thank God through Jesus Christ that you and I have the opportunity through Emmanuel, be God with us on a daily basis, have something that we can use, something that is for us, something that will help us be able to overcome the powers of the wicked one. Thank God for that. And then it says in verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Zeal. Intense enthusiasm. I believe in my heart that from the very dawn of creation, God knew and had a plan for victory for the souls of men. Victory. I believe that when He gave to every one of us a will and gave us the ability to choose, He knew that it was possible for us to fail, to falter along the way. And I've done more than my fair share of that, wishing that and thinking back, looking over my life, realizing that There were things that as I look at it, I think, I should have known better. I should have known better. If I had stopped and thought about it a little bit, I would have known better. But I didn't always stop and think about it. Didn't always stop and assess things. Didn't always take the time to stop and ask God for intervention. Haven't always done that. Needed to. Should have. But haven't always. And find that I realized that there was foolish decisions made along the way. And I needed Him every day, every hour. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The intense enthusiasm of God being willing to take a place that I couldn't take. What God designed from the beginning of time, ordaining a plan of salvation, wanting things to be successful for man, knowing that He had the opportunity, knowing that He had given him the ability to choose, but before ever that choice was made, had set in place a plan for man's redemption for his soul, knowing that he could go errant, and I thank God for that. I believe, folks, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when it gives us a story of Moses and Elias meeting with Jesus on that mount, if you'll just allow me to insert my own thinking here, and I do it because of reading in the Scriptures and some principles I believe apply. You may want to argue with me concerning it, but I believe that Moses and Elias, when they met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration that day, I believe it's said, the Scripture says, they spoke with Him concerning His decease that He should accomplish at Jerusalem. I don't believe they were having a casual conversation. I don't believe it was just a cheerleading session. I don't believe it was just there just to encourage the Lord. I believe they were serious. I believe they knew, they understood that this, you Christ, you are our hope. If we're going to be saved, the Scripture tells us that there is no other way for a man to be saved except through Jesus. That Moses and Elias were saying to Him, if we're going to be saved, you've got to go all the way. You've got to be willing to go all the way to the end. Don't stop. Don't pull back. Don't falter. Our eternal salvation depends upon you being willing to go all the way to that cross. Knowing that that's the plan of God. So go. Please go. They spake with Him concerning His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elias, I don't know, I can't begin to tell you all of the realm that they occupied. That's a realm, that's a spirit realm that I don't see, I don't fully understand, of course, and I don't know how to explain it all. Except I know that the Scripture tells me there is a place of paradise. There is a holding area for good and bad. I don't know how it all works. It's God's business. But Moses and Elias spoke to Jesus saying, you're our hope. I believe that. I believe they let Him know, you go all the way. Because if you don't, we're hopeless. We're helpless. We did all that we could do. Please do your part. Please go. And thank God, folks, today we can sit here as a congregation. We have the Word of God. We can sit here as a congregation and we hear the story about this little child that was born in a manger. And we sing the songs. The children sing the songs, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. And all of those songs are winsome and they have beautiful tune and they have beautiful words to it. But it's more than just words. It's more than a beautiful tune. It's more than just a story. It is a reality that God chose a way for us through a little small child. The Creator entrusted to the created to be nurtured and brought up so we could have God with us. Not just for 30 plus years. But for every day of my life, you can have Him with you. We can have Him. And when we come together as a congregation, this evening the congregation will come together for a little while and sing Christmas songs. I hope it's more than just songs. I hope it's more than just beautiful singing. But it's a reality in our souls. That God set forth supernatural events. Events that could not be explained biologically or logically. But the Scripture tells us, there in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Folks, what good would it do us to diligently seek one that had no ability to help us beyond the 30 plus years He was here on this earth? It didn't end then. It's God with us. God with. Think of that word with. With you now. Present tense. Constant. Yesterday. Today. Tomorrow, if tomorrow comes. With us. God with us. Thank the Lord. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. Thank God for all that was done through His love, through all of the divine mind that He saw that humanity needed and was willing to make it happen. I want us to enjoy this day. I want us to enjoy life. I want us to enjoy the things that the Lord has put in our hands. But I also want us to remember that the reason we're able to enjoy these things is because God with us. I couldn't take another breath. Except God gave me the ability to breathe. I couldn't enjoy the breath. Except God gave my body the ability to absorb the oxygen that is in the air. And God gave my body the ability through the lungs to be able to absorb that oxygen and put it into the bloodstream to pump throughout my body so I can think, I can see, I can reason. I need Thee every hour. Thank God for all He has done for us. Remember, His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. Please pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.